Welcome to Beards and Comics Podcast.
All right. Welcome to Beards and Comics. I guess we're calling this Recklessly Creative now. I renumbered the last 10 episodes, so they're included in the first 100 episodes of Beards and Comics, and now we're starting Recklessly Creative, but that's the thing we've been saying for 10 episodes now. So if everyone's keeping up, then just forget that the last 100 episodes exist. Unless you're an indie comic creator and want to learn some stuff, then go check it out. Anyway, so what we're doing now is we're trying to endeavor to talk to all kinds of different creative people. And that's why we're going to start going more with the moniker of Recklessly Creative at this point. And the previous 100 episodes were really dedicated to comic book creation. We are Aaron and Matt, and we like to be creative and talk about creative things. So, Matt, say hi.
Hi. We want to learn
great.
Stuff.
You're doing
so,
great.
So we want to get a bunch of random people on, and we don't really care what you do. As long as it's like creative. Even if it's poor paint, I'm not going to be mad.
There you go. We'll keep Matt in check.
Yeah, you might like reel me in, but that's the difference.
So our first guest for this new endeavor is someone we don't know that we met 10 minutes ago. So this is either is going to be great or it's going to be truly awful, and we're glad you're all here for the ride. She arts and she makes reels, and she even sends voice messages instead of text-based messages, which is how I knew she was probably in her 30s. Amy Good, welcome to Beards Comics Podcast. And, you know, hi, tell us about yourself. Tell people who you is.
Yeah, word. So I have 2 undergrad degrees in art. My first one is in fine traditional medium, which would be, you know, back in the day, based on our age, I was basically one of those like pot smoking white people with dreadlocks type of situation.
Hell yeah.
And you were. And then as I got a little older, still my early 20s, I was like, what the fuck is the point of that? I don't see that. So I got my second undergraduate degree in illustration, specifically with a minor in entertainment arts from a private college. And that was with the intention of going into game design, which I have worked in the video game industry a little bit, but quickly found that like the industry itself was not a really good match for me. Just a lot of political reasons and stuff you could probably surmise based off of how that's gone the last 10 plus years. So I've been a freelance illustrator and graphic designer for over a decade. I'm self-employed. I do all of those things. I write contracts. I handle everything. Tax-wise with my CPA, so I know how all that works. And I am mostly specifically working in the comic book industry at this point, in indie comics, as a writer and an illustrator. But I also teach sometimes at a rehab facility, or I do private lessons out of my house for people in the community, because I was actually asked to offer that by a bunch of people. I know. I'm involved with my local nonprofit arts council, and yeah, so that's me.
At least somebody's got their life together. Aaron, what are we doing?
I ask myself that every day, Matt.
Every morning I wake up in the mirror.
Yeah.
And I say them, what are those things you're supposed to say in the mirror?
I feel good. Yeah, I feel great. I feel wonderful. That's what I tell myself. That comes from the What About Bob movie, for you guys that don't know anything about that. Bill Murray, what a great role.
Mine is, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like you.
Oh.
you're supposed to close it out with, and look at that beard.
They're magnificent.
No, mine was that Saturday Night Live old cut, the deep cut.
Yeah. For those that are listening to this, by the way, I should let you all know that Matt no longer looks like our logo.
True.
He is now glasses free and shooting lasers like Cyclops.
Since 23.
That's my name. Yeah, glasses free since 23. all right. Just wanted people to be aware of that, because everyone looks at our logo and they're like, oh, it looks like you guys. And Matt decided that's not cool anymore or something.
Nah, I changed that.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, I'm sticking with the glasses. Someone's got to represent.
Somebody's got to do it.
what inspired you to pursue a degree in the arts?
So probably relatable to most people. I don't know how general or specific I'd like to be. So essentially, I'll just give you this anecdote. When I originally started going to college, I was still a high school senior because I was really hot in the ass to get everything over with. And I was kind of like an overachiever, or that's how I fancied myself to some degree for some reason. And I was originally majoring in English, and I found that to be extremely dull and realized pretty quickly that the only real avenues to go at the time, this was the early 2000s, was to be basically in journalism or education, and both of those were not appealing. So then I switched my major to abnormal clinical psychology and did that for a couple of years because that's something that's very personal and close to my heart and fascinating. And then when it got time for me to get really, really serious about the, you know, like 200-300 plus level classes and start figuring out the college I'd be transferring to, I basically had like a mental breakdown. And I was about 19, I think, at the 19 or 20 at the time. And I was at my mother's house because I had my husband and I had been living together since 2008. This was probably in 2008 or 9. And I had a mental breakdown. I went to go visit her and she was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" And, you know, I told her, I was like, "I don't know why, but like the idea of pursuing this further is really stressing me out. It just doesn't feel like there's a connection here, right? Like when I look into the future, there is something missing. I don't know if this will bring me long-term gratification when I'm 40, 50, 60, if I'll still be happy with that decision." And so she gave me really succinct advice, and I give this to everybody. She looked at me and she said, "Amy, everybody has gifts and everybody has talents, and you should follow your gift." And she knew me as her daughter, that my gift was always art. It was something I had always been drawn to, and it was something I had been doing my entire life on some level. And that was all she had to say. And the next, you know, time I went to campus, I unenrolled. I actually switched to a different college for a new start. And that was when I began pursuing my art career. So for me, to answer the question, that piece of advice was perfect for me. It outlined exactly how I was feeling internally the most simple way possible. And the way I feel internally is that there was never an option for me to do anything else other than art. It's inexplicable. I think when you are an artistic person, a creative person, that you must feed that beast, or it can overcome you. And I think unlike certain other professions, I don't want to undercut that, but my sister is a lawyer. My brother works in production. I have, you know, my husband is an engineer. They are all able to separate their career from their personal life and their soul and what satiates them and their dreams. But being an artistic person, they're all connected. Your art is like your ability to be successful with and create is kind of intrinsically tied up in your mental state, your physical well-being to an extent, and your dreams and your goals and your hopes and your ambitions. And it becomes you. It just is you. You know what I'm saying? So then that's, there's no question. That's all it was going to be ever, destiny in a sense.
So yeah, I feel like it's the number one thing. I feel like we've talked about this a lot of times, and I kind of felt like I went through the same thing of like, you work. For some reason, if you're a creative person, you just have this, like, something has to, you need something to fulfill that. And working a regular job as a creative person just does not do it. It cannot do it for some reason. Like, it's just, you could be really good at your job. You could go there every day, be a good hard worker, but it just sucks the life.
You could even be fulfilled by it to an extent, you know, completely fulfilled in that aspect, but there will still be a giant hole.
Right. There's just something that's missing from it. And that was one of those things too, where I had to do the same thing where it's just like, I'm going to lose my mind. If I do not change something I just can't do it.
It's very profound. I think that the only thing I can relate that sense to. So that sense of like, if I'm not actually creating, like I've had jobs in the past, which were not really art related. My first job out of college was as a technical illustrator for the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm. So that's not like, that's an illustrator. It's your technical illustrator. It's basically engineering CAD programs. Mm-hmm. And so you can do something like that and be an artist and then create in your spare time, but it is definitely not as fulfilling in any way. Mm-hmm. That hole that you feel of lacking and absence when you're an artistic person and you're not creating is seriously like existential dread. The feeling like the feeling is like standing on the precipice of like a fucking singularity at all times. You are it's my opinion, I don't want to speak for everybody, but you like you're so full of like this underlying constant like dread and anxiety from not creating. The only thing I can compare it to that I've experienced in my life is like when you have a loved one who you know is not doing well. So you kind of internalize from a distance, like, oh God, what's going to happen? Right. Or if you're going through like a very serious relationship crisis, or, and you're just kind of like, oh God, what does this mean for me? Like, where am I going? Where are we go? Like, it's so overpowering, but it's with you all the time. If you don't find a way to like manage it and let it out healthy. In my experience, it's fucking intense. Mm-hmm. It's like having a monkey on your back for real.
Yeah. Well, or I drank too many energy drinks.
Exactly. That's the other one. Why I'm heart, my heart's racing. I'm sweating for no reason. And it's, it's just cause I'm always stressed about, you know, not being able to be the person that I know I am. I get that. We have a few similarities in our backgrounds as well. Actually, I also started college my last year in high school, and I went originally I started taking psychology classes because I was going to do childhood psychology, and then I switched to education and so I got my master's of education and I was a teacher. I taught creative writing and I taught English literature to high schoolers, and then I also taught computers to middle school because I'm a tech head too.
So similar. What?
Yeah. And then, you know, I taught for a year and a half and, it sucked. So, so I moved on from that. Still have a good relationship with almost all those students and it's weird seeing them all grown and having kids and stuff now, but, yeah, a lot of similarities. That's pretty cool. Similar boat too, where it's just, job for me, it was job after job after job of just, this is soul crushing. And I wasn't going to go down this route, but the person I was with at the time was not a creative person in the least. And they never could understand that constant dread and constant, I need things to be different. And I guess really that's where, you know, Matt and I birthed Catalyst out of both of us working jobs that we hated while trying to be creative. And, and then even now, you know, my last job, I was content editor. I enjoyed that because it's editing and I enjoy it and it's creative. So now I'm in the phase of my life where I'm like, well, how do I push the rest of this stuff to be the more focused on thing rather than taking a backseat to things again? So I get it.
We're speaking the same language for sure. Okay. Sorry, Matt. I was cutting you off there.
Oh, no, you weren't. I didn't know if Aaron had what he had next planned.
I mean, you go ahead. I got plenty of stuff.
Oh no, I was just gonna go ahead and go through your where you went to school. Did you go to? You said you went to art school or no?
Correct. Yes. Okay.
How did that go for you? Was that a positive or a negative? We've had this discussion with other artists. I know artists now are very like pro. There's the pro and then the negatives of art school money versus is it worth it? Connections are worth it. What was your experience with it?
It's funny because even before I went to a private art college, I knew that was my destiny. And in fact, the school I ended up going to, like I knew somehow for like many years before that, even though I was only like pseudo aware of its existence, you know what I mean? Like as an abstraction, because I was very young. I didn't really understand college. I didn't even know physically where it was at. Like because I was young, I just knew that I would be there someday.
And now an advertising break. Attention all entrepreneurs, freelancers, and business owners. If you're looking for an affordable, high-quality freelance service, Fiverr's the platform for you. Look, as a creator, I can attest that Fiverr is a great place to meet clients and even find repeat work. It's also a great place to hire. From graphic design to copywriting, web development to social media management, Fiverr has an extensive network of talented freelancers who can help you take your business to the next level. With prices starting at just $5, you can access top-tier talent without breaking the bank. So what are you waiting for? Head over to Fiverr today and start browsing the wide selection of freelance services. Use the link in our show notes and it'll help the show. Thanks.
Hey there, beard enthusiast and creative people. I'm here with a message of importance. Are you looking for premium quality beard care products that can help you achieve the perfect beard look? Look no further than Live Bearded. Aaron and I can personally attest to the amazing quality of their products, and I know that you will love them too. But wait, there's more. As a special offer for our fellow comic book fans, Live Bearded is offering a 10% discount on your first order when you use the coupon code BEARDSANDCOMICS at checkout. That's right, you can save some serious cash on your first order of high-quality beard care products and show your love for our podcast at the same time. So don't wait any longer. Head over to Live Bearded today and start exploring their amazing products. Use the coupon code BEARDSANDCOMICS at checkout to claim your 10% discount and take another step towards the perfect beard. Links in the show notes. Trust me, your beard will thank you.
Looking for an easy and user-friendly way to design and customize your website? Look no further than Elementor. With an intuitive drag-and-drop interface, a wide range of customizable widgets and templates, and optimized loading times with SEO, Elementor is the perfect platform for all your website design needs. Catalyst Comics Studios' site is built using Elementor, and every other website I have built uses it as well. Plus, as an affiliate for Elementor, I can offer you exclusive discounts. So sign up for Elementor today with the link in our show notes and start designing the website of your dreams.
We're dropping tees. That's right, you can now rock some merch from your favorite bearded podcast. Head over to catalystcomicstudio.bigcartel.com and check out our new designs. We have a Skull Podcast logo and even one just for the ladies. Become part of our ground team and represent the show with these great designs. The more we get going, the more we'll add. The link will be in the show notes or head over right now to catalystcomicstudio.bigcartel.com.
Whether you're a musician, artist, writer, or just a lover of all things creative, our podcast is the perfect place to explore the human touch in all its glory. With that being said, Matt, how much have we made from this podcast?
I don't know, man. Negative something?
It isn't quite that bad, but the reality is, we need your help to keep the podcast going strong. That's why we're excited to announce our new Patreon page. With tiers as low as $5, you can support the podcast and gain access to exclusive content and behind-the-scenes goodies, plus ad-free episodes.
Wait a minute. You mean they would never have to hear this exact ad again?
Right.
Worth it.
With your support, we can keep the conversation going and continue to bring you the high-quality content that you love.
Yeah. So head over to our Patreon page today and become part of our community at patreon.com/beardsandcomics.
Or check out the link in our show notes. And now, back to the show.
But it's funny when you talk to artists who've gone to art school, specifically, I think, but then also art program at a well-established university. The fucking things that people say. It's so funny. I feel like it's so different than if you go to like medical school or law school or study anything else, veterinary science, you become a nurse. Like people are just like, oh yeah, I went, I did it, I got this grade. But when you talk to people about art school, like it's the wildest shit sometimes. But it's just a fun place to be because we're so weird. Like it's just all different. But anyway, so I'm in Michigan. I grew up in the Metro Detroit area. So the first place I went to school was a community college. And I did that for, like, I went to one community college for about 3 years when I was doing the English and psychology thing. And then I transferred to a different community college to finish my, to do my fine art undergrad, which is actually a 4-year community college. And then, and it's actually very nice now. I've driven by, I don't live near there anymore, but it's quite expansive and it was actually a very good school. So when I got my undergraduate degree, I then transferred to a private college that's in Detroit. It still exists. I think it's existed since the 1950s, but it was originally under a different name than it operates now. I think it was called the Art Center for Creativity or some bullshit. And
it sounds very artsy.
I don't know, but
you have to say with your pinky out or else you can't go there.
It's a really well-known college. It's constantly competing as one of the top three in the world for various programs here and there, whether it's their product design or their illustration or their automotive design programs. They're always ranking in the top three, competing with like schools in Europe and shit. And they're in Detroit. It's called College for Creative Studies. People who know about it, it's like Woo. The school's not, in my opinion, as nice as it was when I went there because they changed a lot of their requirements to get in. I had to go through like a 5 or 6 month process of being accepted into the programs and vetted. And like, they had to see my portfolios and I had to bring sketchbooks and like, they wanted to see all this shit and obviously transcripts going back to high school and all this. So that was very cool because it was very gratifying. Now they're a lot more, even though they are private, from my understanding, is they're a lot, they function more like a public university and a lot more like a business. And they'll, oh yeah,
right,
kind of thing. So that's a little disheartening because it, the reputation it had was like a benefit to me. You know,
you had a such a high standard to even entry.
Yes.
And now it
meant something, you know, like you said, I went to this college, can I work here for you? People would be like, yeah, oh, we have other people from there and they're amazing. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
It demanded a certain level of perfectionism, to be honest. And so my feeling about going to art school was overall extremely positive. And when I had just recently graduated, I spent many years hating it. And I was like, ah, fuck, what a fucking mistake that was, you know?
Right.
But I was only 24 or 5. And now that I look back about 10 years later, it is easily one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. And it's for many reasons, because the curriculum was extremely grueling. I mean, extremely brutal, extremely grueling. Mm-hmm. My husband, he used to say that I had like a scheduled mental breakdown every Tuesday, because I would be like, oh, fuck, I suck, I'm shit, I'm not good enough. You know what I mean?
You're like, yep, she's an artist.
Yeah. Yep, definitely an artist.
Yep, definitely an artist.
And it wasn't because I didn't feel that my skills were okay. It was because really like being in such an intensely creative environment, you undergo like a total rehardwiring of your brain. Mm-hmm. And it's very overwhelming because you actually see the world differently. Mm-hmm. Like, in a very physical sense, like you begin to see the world differently and relate to things differently. Mm-hmm. And how you interact and relate in the world becomes different because of that. And you're constantly being pushed to understand, you know, concepts that are abstract, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, you can tell me my art sucks, but why? Because it's such an abstract concept. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So it's a huge learning curve just to understand that world and the nomenclature and to see what your professors see and understand what they want and to let them kind of like get in there and reprogram you. So I'm extremely grateful for that. It made me an amazing artist. I mean, the improvements that I saw on a week to week basis were fucking mind blowing, and it was extremely gratifying. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I just learned a lot of life lessons there. And in fact, I was able to go to school before it became, you know, before colleges were completely infected with like mind diseases and shit. Mm-hmm. So going, and I'm so blessed. I'm like seriously so happy, because I couldn't imagine going to a fucking art school, let alone any other school in 2023 or so. It would probably just be all politics and no education, you know. And when I was in school, it was very grueling and people were very shitty to you, to like, you know, like drill sergeants. And the first time I was on campus and I had to come to the orientation type thing, the head of my department was like, I'm not here to fucking nurture anybody. I'm here to fucking beat you into a like a good artist. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not here to be flowery and you're gonna make it or you're not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he was like, this program has the highest dropout rate in the college. So, you know, get your shit together. And that was cool. So I actually like being there tested me so many ways. Even it even tested me like philosophically and shit. My professors would push us to get outside of our comfort zones on like philosophical topics, political topics, things without passing judgment or directing us in any direction. But they would actually like kind of press us to be like, You have to expose yourself to all of these different things in order to be a good artist. And and that was very true. You have to continuously be exposed to new ideas and change your mind and have those paradigm shifts in order to replicate the world that's around you or interpret it, which is essentially what we try to do in some way.
I do like how you said it's kind of that when I was learning art very early on, you know what I'm saying? And it was one of those things where like, it's just learning a whole new visual language and being able to talk to other artists and understand that language of art and being able to communicate with other artists. And when they say things that you mean, and having somebody that's teaching you when you first, it's Latin, it's Greek, it's a whole nother language of just nonsense that you hear these words and you're like, I have no idea what that means.
Right.
You start, studying things. And then, like you said, you start to almost see the world in a different way. Mm-hmm. When you go outside, you see, I love how the perspective of this, I look at this car different. I look at plants different. I look at colors lines. Different. Yeah. Everything, lines, structure, how everything is made. It's just like you almost appreciate the simple things more when you sit there and study it. Just like, how much time somebody, because everything got made by somebody and they sat down and worked it out and figured it out and designed it and made it,
So
it's a very crazy thing to do.
The thing that's interesting about art school too, for me, was that you hear a lot of stories about people who go into a program and then come out of a program with some type of disconnection there, perhaps like, oh, I thought I really wanted this, but this wasn't what I wanted or whatever. But my experience of going through art school was actually to really refine and hone how I felt. So I had a very opposite experience in that. Like you said, you start to see things differently. I think a lot of visual artists, and probably other types of artists, but for sure visual artists, are very attracted to what is beautiful in the world, whatever that is for them, you know? And you're kind of always chasing that, and you are observing that, and you're appreciating it, and you're seeing it. But then once you really, really get those new eyes and see, it's like you get to do it all over again. And so in that way, art college or any art education, whether it be whatever, it doesn't have to be what I did, as long as you take it seriously, is that you get to really become the best version of your artistic self and understand why you are that way. And then you develop a new language for it. So then you understand it better, and other people who are artists understand you. It's very interesting. It's like having a fucking spiritual, baptismal experience almost, because you get to reintroduce yourself to the world and vice versa with a new eye, new eyes and a new mind. It's very intense, really.
Yeah. That's the one thing that I always found myself doing is when you're first starting your art journey and doing any kind of learning, you'll hear about all these amazing artists and you look at it and go, that's ugly. I don't know what they see in it, or I don't get it. Right. And then as you go along and learn, or you start figuring things out, you somehow always come back and go, I see it now. I get it. That's harder than I thought. I thought it was sloppy, or I didn't like this part of it. You understand what you like and what you don't like about it. And then you're able to communicate it to yourself and just say, well, why didn't I like that? Oh, I just didn't understand it. And it's not that, I feel like you take that on in your personality too a lot. That's how I am with people. It's just like, I might not understand this person right now, but I might come back around and then also, okay, I just... something was off, or but that's how I feel like I have personally been in my art journey of doing, going through a curriculum and then learning more about something and then going back through it again, or a book that I didn't know, and I was like, it all makes sense now. Why didn't I see this? And you're almost mad at it because you didn't understand it, but you had to go through the trenches to start all over again and then do it again and then have a whole nother experience with something that you thought you didn't need, or thought you didn't,
or thought it didn't matter. Already well acquainted with.
Exactly.
That's actually the perfect, a perfect way to describe it is if you read a book, I had a childhood favorite book, which was called The Last Unicorn. And I don't know if you guys ever saw that animated movie from the 70s or whatever that accompanied it. But so I loved that book. It's a legitimate novel. And the first time I read it, I was like, oh my God, it's so good. I was probably 13 or 14. And then I reread it in my 20s and I was like, holy shit, this is a different book now, because you get so much more out of it as you're older. And and that is really similar to how it is to live in the world. And then versus after art education, living in the world after visual art education.
Did you when you read it when you were older, did you mean that in a good way? or
oh, it's a fantastic book. It was written by Peter S. Beagle, and he was very close personal friends with Tolkien. And him writing The Last Unicorn partially inspired Tolkien to finally commit The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit to paper.
It's awesome. We Matt and I, we talk about that with shows that we grew up watching, right. And then we watch them later. Like Home Improvement is the one that we always talk about. Is it once you like have been in relationships and married and all that stuff, man, does that show make so much more sense. Yeah. Now I understand why my dad was laughing. Like, yeah. I get it now.
Right. Or like Everybody Loves Raymond or something like one of those, like those kind of shows. Yeah, the adult themes that you didn't catch as a kid or when you were younger, and it just didn't like, oh, haha, they're laughing.
Maybe or the relationship stuff. Mm-hmm. You're like, you didn't understand it back then, but now you're like, I've had that exact same argument and it's real dumb still.
Yes.
The exactly. I have a book, my favorite series as a kid was The Dark is Rising from Susan Cooper.
And, I have that entire series. It's fantastic. Yeah,
so that's awesome.
I literally know exactly where it's at. I'll
yes, that exact cover and everything is the first book I ever bought at a book fair. It's that exact cover and everything.
Great book. Yeah. Oh my God.
That series has inspired a lot for me as a writer. And then when I got older, The Count of Monte Cristo, that's why my name is that on here, as I just, I go by that a lot. But yeah, I mean, Dumas, he did, you know, Three Musketeers, Man in the Iron Mask, all that stuff. But his writing style, and then like Susan Cooper's writing style for how she fleshed out a new way to tell an Arthurian legend with magic, it was mind-boggling. And so I remember, like, I still every couple of years read through that whole series, and it's definitely not for my age group, but I don't care.
It is. It could be, though. I mean, it really could be. I mean, it's not an adult novel, right? But it's young adult, but it's so well written. Her world is so well established. The characters are so like individual and well thought out that it's not, you know, you're not for want for anything. It's just a quicker read, really. I mean, it's still engaging, interesting. It's a great example of how to write a book. Yeah, that book is amazing. I was really blown away by it as a child because, like, by her ability to describe the world around the characters and how the landscape was such a huge part of the story. Like, everything played in. It was a very visual book. And like a very breathtakingly visual book somehow. And I've never read any other book that has inspired like those types of images. She's just very like chef's kiss. It's fantastic. Yeah,
she's awesome. So Matt, that's where like one of my inspirational things of like, that's where some of my writing stuff comes from. And like why I do take that important is to have that level of description helps Matt. I mean, it helps the artist too, when you're scripting and all that.
People know about that book. I feel it's, so
I know.
Oh my God.
It's ridiculous. And there's an awful movie as well. I own it. I watch it almost every Christmas, but it's real bad. It's very poorly done. Doesn't really stick to the story. But Christopher Eccleston's in it, and he was the first Doctor to come back. So whatever. what in the art realm? What are some of the biggest challenges that you have faced as an artist? I mean, especially one that's doing it for a living.
Okay. Ooh, good question. I don't know. So I guess as it pertains to being a self-employed artist, the biggest challenge is surprisingly, I struggled with getting work early on, but that was like very quickly over with for whatever reason. And then, that's been made much less of an issue now with the advent of all of these social media sites and freelance sites and stuff like that. So I don't feel like that's a huge obstacle to people anymore. Yeah. And so I guess maybe my biggest struggle as an artist has been finding maybe like a really good fit for me as far as like a community or like a work area. Like, so for example, when I started in video games, that didn't really mesh with me very well. And like, I don't know where you guys are at politically, but I've always been like, an obnoxious centrist. Like, I've always just really been, and it's not because I'm non-committal. It's just like there's merits on both sides.
Well, Matt and I are apathetic, if we're going to be honest. We're both like, yeah, everything sucks. We don't really like everybody. So,
yeah, 100%. If I didn't have kids, I'd be way more of a nihilist. So, just saying, like,
reporting for duty.
I feel like, let it fucking burn, bitch. Like, I don't really give a fuck anyway. So, but I have kids, so I've got too much skin in the damn game at this point.
Yep.
But, so the video game industry was like way fucking lived out, even 15 years ago, and that's fine, I guess. But me being me, I'm a big fucking mouth and I don't give a shit, and I've always been that way. So it was just really hard for me to realize, like, I can't coexist with these people, because there's no fucking way I'm going to be able to keep my mouth shut for 10 or 20 years. There's no way I'm going to not be confrontational, because I just am, like, to an extent, like, not, I don't seek it out, but if there were to be people like trying to impress upon me constantly day after day, whether it was over or not, I would just, it would make me fucking crazy. Like, don't get into the boundaries, like the
well, even with that, if it's the same people you're having to deal with constantly, you naturally, if you're working with people, you start feeling more and more comfortable with them. That's when people screw up. Like, that's when they say, you know, you're so comfortable with somebody that you're like, you know what, I will give them my exact opinion, because, you know, we're cool now, we work together. That's when people screw up and, you know, get in trouble for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know you guys know about
I think it's our age group, to be honest with you, because we grew up in that's a different time, like you said, where it was, you went to that boot camp school,
right?
And it was, you better get over it and grow mm-hmm. some tough skin, or you're not going to make it in life. 100%. You know, we were always like, I feel like that's how we all grew up. That's how I got taught. That's how.
Yeah.
It was, you know, life's rough. Wear a helmet. Like, for get real, over it and figure it out.
In the 80s with you guys. Yeah. I definitely identify not as a millennial, even though I technically am, or whatever the fuck. Millennial? Yeah.
Yeah, you're right at the end.
There's some weird term now, though, for like those few years in the 80s.
I
don't remember what it is.
It's called not being retarded. Yeah. And, but yeah, that's like how our generation was. It was like, what are you going to do? Fucking cry about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that was kind of the mentality I was raised with. It's like, you feel
I'm not
sorry
saying that's probably not the reason we don't all need therapy, but we still are okay.
Listen, that's what punk rock music is for, Matt.
I was a punk rock kid, bro. I was that fucking bitch in high school.
Matt is still a punk rock kid, and always. I'm a pop punk rock kid. I just beep boop a little too loud. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm heterosexual, Christian, and married, so I'm still pretty fucking punk rock, because that's like the new core culture, really. So,
freaking church, man.
I can love my cake and eat it too. So, the video game industry was not a good fit for me, and I don't care what people's politics are. I don't care what they fucking, or their religion. I couldn't be bothered to give a shit less, to be honest with you. But it's when it's like, you know, being shoved down your face all the time. It's just the audacity of it for me. It's just the audacity of it to, like, you not respect me or anybody else around you type shit, because I would never. But, like, I'm not going to proselytize to you, because I could give a fuck. But so that wasn't a good fit, and
I mean, I'm a pastor's kid, so.
Oh yeah, I have a couple in my family. It's cool, like, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you like do your thing. That's fine, but yeah. So finding that area where it clicks, because there's so many places you can go with your art, right? And really, there's different communities, and when I found comic books, like, I never ever fucking planned on working in comics in a million years, just because which is weird, because I'm a fucking illustrator, which is narrative art, and you'd like you think, yeah, like
that's
that
kind of the exact place you should go.
Right, that is
storyboarding.
Welcome home.
You got like storyboarding and comics, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Beards and Comics Podcast is a production of Catalyst Comics Studio. To get in touch with us, visit CatalystComicsStudio.com or search for Beards and Comics Podcast on Facebook. Hey, if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It doesn't sound like much, but it helps a whole lot.